Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading is coming from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 31. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Good morning. Let me just pray before we get started. Father, my prayer really just is that what I share this morning, Lord, that it will give testimony to your grace in my life, that it will give testimony to your pursuing love, and give testimony that Jesus, you are the only one that can bring true freedom. I pray, Lord, that what is of you, you'll use to touch people's hearts. And Lord, that where there's more of me than you, just let that wash over people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again. If I haven't met you, my name's Shannon. And I've been asked this morning to share on the topic of evangelism as part of our Lifesavers series. When I was first asked to talk on evangelism, I was a bit hesitant because I have never really thought of myself as much of an evangelist. When I think of evangelists, I think of people like this.
My first instinct when I saw this was to stand aside and let them pass. But of course, I was with Todd White. So into the riot we went. Little did I know that God had a plan in the midst of this craziness.
Jesus, get him. Bless him, God. Jesus' name. Hey, God. Jesus. Oh, no. Can I go through here? Please. Okay. Jesus. Bless him, God. Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Bless him. God, thank you. Let me pray for you. Come on, let me pray for all you guys. Jesus. Bless him, God. Let your kingdom come. Father, I thank you.
In case you're not familiar with him, his name's Todd White, and he's a preacher evangelist. And I look at some of his stuff online, and I find him encouraging, inspiring. I love his boldness. I love his passion for Jesus. He actually can really articulate the gospel really well to people as well. But I often watch him, and I watch him and I think, oh, I can't do that. it's not in my personality to do some of the stuff that he does. And I think because he is sort of my stereotype of the average evangelist, I haven't sort of thought of myself as one. The only verse that's really ever given me any comfort when it comes to this whole evangelism thing is the one from 1 Peter 3:15, which says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." I like this verse. I like it because it sort of assumes that there's some kind of relationship going on between the people. I particularly like it because it's the other person asking the Christian, initiating the conversation about faith. And so for years, this was my, I guess, my approach to evangelism, that I would go about living my life. And I was open with people about the fact that I was a Christian and went to church. And so they could just come and ask me about my faith if they wanted to talk about it. I'm not really sure what triggered it, but at some point even this verse started to bother me. Because I think there's also, when you read the context of that verse, there's also an assumption that people actually will come and ask you about the faith that you have. And by this stage, I've been a Christian for at least, I don't know, about 10 years. And I could probably count on two hands the amount of times I'd had conversations with people about my faith. And most of those conversations were actually because of some kind of discussion about moral issues that Christians are meant to have some kind of an opinion on. It was very rare that someone actually had noticed something different about my life because of my faith. I think the bigger thing that was probably bothering me at the time was I was starting to question, how has my life really been affected by my faith? I definitely had a belief in Jesus. I knew that God had been at work in my life. But I'd almost hit this point of frustration where I was really starting to think, you know, besides the things that I do, you know, besides the things that I'm involved in, I was coming to church regularly, I was part of growth groups, I was serving in the church. But besides that stuff that I was doing, how I was spending my time, I was really thinking, how else, you know, how else is Jesus really impacting my life? I'd read the Gospels, I'd read books like Acts, and those early Christians, I mean, their lives were dramatically changed by Jesus. They were passionate for him. Jesus was constantly impacting their life. And I just didn't feel like that was my reality. As I said, from the outside, I probably looked okay. I was coming to church, you know, growth groups, you know, serving, all that good stuff. But I knew that my heart wasn't really in it, and it hadn't been for quite some time. It wasn't that it had never been in it, but that it was becoming dry. My heart was dry. I struggled to spend time with God. If I did, it was probably more because I thought I should open my Bible and read it. I found it really hard to engage in worship through song. I could even become a bit irritated if church went for longer than I thought it was meant to because I had to get home to do stuff. I knew enough about Jesus to know that when he says, "I came to give life and give life to the full," that probably what I was experiencing was not what he meant. And I didn't really know what to do about it, except that I just came to God with it. And I just said, "This is where I'm at. This is how I'm feeling. I know that there's probably more to you than what I'm experiencing." Sometime around this time, it's all a bit hazy, but sometime around this time, our small group was doing a study by Tim Keller called The Prodigal God. And it was a study that was based on the parable of the lost son that was our reading today. I'd obviously sort of been at church for a while. I'd heard the parable of the lost son numerous times. And I'd always, the focus, I guess, of that teaching had always been the relationship between the older son and, God and the younger brother. And I was taught that this was a wonderful story of God's great love and his forgiveness and his, you know, the way that he just embraces people, his great love for us. And that's all true, and even though it was this powerful message of love, that this parable is this powerful message of God's love, it actually never really impacted my heart. And I think the reason it didn't impact my heart was because I never identified with that younger brother. The younger brother, when you look at the, you know, he was the rule breaker. He was the one that didn't do what was expected. He was the one that went off and did his own thing. The text talks about that he got involved with wild living, you know, whatever that is. No one who knows me would call me wild. Every now and then, just someone. but they don't. The Tim Keller study was helpful for me because he also brought into focus the relationship between God, or the father, and the older brother. The older brother. He's the good child. he was the one that was obedient, that did all the right things, that did what was expected. This was probably more in line with what my character had been. My family, actually, my siblings have a little joke, Andrew, Lisa, where they jokingly call me the angel child. But this was more me, more describing me. If we think of the father character as God, the older brother, he was living alongside God. He was serving him. And I guess there were similarities with me in that sense as well, in that I was amongst God's people. I was serving in his church. I was reading his word. But where the father was delighted, where he was rejoicing, where he was celebrating, welcoming with open arms this younger brother, the older brother, we're told, was angry and refused to go in. Every time I had read this parable or heard it spoken, I never once wished I was that younger son being embraced by the father. It didn't even cross my mind to be the younger son. Nor was I overly celebrating that the younger son had returned. I was always too busy being the older son, being the older brother, and feeling for him and thinking, yeah, it is a bit unfair. You know, this is harsh. I could understand why he was angry. I could understand why he thought it was unfair. And it was here that I really began to see that although in some ways I'd been walking alongside God, I did not share his heart. If I'd shared his heart, I would have had a different... I would have been wanting to welcome that son home. There's a commentary on Luke that I've been reading. It's called The Hospitality of God. And the author highlights this feature that he says can be seen throughout Luke. He calls it the triangular pattern. But he says that throughout a lot of the parables and the interactions that Jesus has with people, that you can see this sort of triangle of three characters. There's always the God Jesus character. There's the marginalised person or the one that's in need of salvation. And then there's this other. So in the parable of the lost son that we read, the father is the God character. The lost son is the younger brother. And the other one is the older brother. Another couple of examples. Hopefully you're sort of familiar with these texts. But Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. Jesus plays himself, Jesus. The lost son, the lost one, is Zacchaeus. He is a tax collector that takes too much money, and then he keeps it for himself, the extra bit for himself. So the community don't like him for that. He's an outcast. He is labelled a sinner by them. So he's our lost one. And then the other, you know, when Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "I'm going to come today, and I'm going to be a guest in your household." There's these others, there's these voices in the crowd. At verse 7 it says, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Another example that, again, hopefully is sort of familiar with this parable, but the one of the Good Samaritan. The lost or the in need man is the injured guy that's been robbed and left sort of on the road, injured. The God Jesus character is the Good Samaritan. He's the one that loves and cares for this injured person in a similar way to what Jesus would. And then the other characters are the priest and the Levite that had seen the man injured but had chosen to walk on by. Tim Keller asked the question, and I was starting to ask myself this question. Which character was I most like? Maybe you could ask that question as well. Which character most resembles you? I've already said that I identified more with that older brother. And if I put myself in amongst that interaction between Jesus and Zacchaeus, I don't think I would have felt all that much for Zacchaeus. I think I would have thought, people don't like you because you do the wrong thing. You know, people don't like you because you're robbing them. I don't think I would have had a lot of compassion for him. And so I think if I put myself in that situation, I probably still would have been more likely to be part of the crowd. Part of the crowd that questioned Jesus, was wondering what he was doing. Again, if I put myself in the Good Samaritan example, it's not that I'm a completely unhelpful person. I would be more than happy to help any of you. you might even catch me opening a door for someone or picking up something for someone if it fell or, you know, whatever. But if that's our level of what we label the Good Samaritan, we're missing the point of that parable. Because a Samaritan and a Jew, the Jew was the one that was injured, they were two people groups that hated each other. there would have been no expectation or social obligation for a Samaritan to help out a Jew. And yet this Samaritan does. He crosses that border, he crosses that boundary and he helps out. And not only does he help him out, it's not like he just gives him some water and tries to put a band-aid on him and sort of, you know, pushes him on his way. You know, he really does take good care of him. He makes sure that he is restored to health. He pays money to make sure that this man, you know, is well again. And there's no talk of reimbursement. You know, it's an extravagant love that the Samaritan shows to this man in need. Potentially he's showing it to a man that would have actually hated him and that wouldn't have done the same thing back. That's the kind of love that this parable is talking about. And again, as much as I would like to think that I was different, I think potentially I would be one of the ones that would walk on by, that it might be too inconvenient or too much to ask for me to help out with that kind of depth of love. I still find that parable really, really challenging. The author of that book, Hospitality of God, he then goes on to ask, who most needs salvation? I was starting to realise that I was in that other group. And can I humbly suggest that if you can identify with anything that I've said, that you potentially are in that other group as well. And I think the thing that was really starting to bother me is that when I read the Gospels, it's this other group that Jesus has the biggest issue with. The author of this book, Hospitality of God, he says, who most needs salvation? The younger brother, you know, he's embraced by God. He's at the banquet having a great time. His sins are forgiven. In the story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, Jesus announces, salvation has come to this house. The label of sinner is removed. You know, for both of these characters, they are welcomed into the hospitality of and the loving embrace of their father. They are restored. They are redeemed. To these characters that receive from Jesus, salvation comes. And yet the older brother, he stays outside the banquet. The crowd, sometimes it's the Pharisees, they continue to question and to criticise Jesus. I was being convicted that my heart was further away from God than I'd realised. In regards to my relationship with God, I was thinking I could trust in my own goodness, my own good works to be right with God. My heart was dry towards Jesus because although I had a head knowledge, my belief in him, my heart, my affections, what I really trusted in was actually myself. The result was that I was increasingly feeling tired, obligated, resentful, could be critical, judgmental of others. I lacked the genuine love and joy that comes from experiencing the fullness and freedom that we have in Jesus. God was using this word to powerfully speak into my life because for the first time, I was actually starting to identify with that younger brother. Just like the younger brother, I was in need of salvation. But my sin was self-righteousness. It was judgmentalism, pride, a false thinking that somehow I deserve God's favour rather than relying completely on the grace shown in Jesus' death and resurrection. I was guilty of boxing what a relationship with God should look like for myself and judging others if their relationship didn't quite fit that mould. Obviously, God had started to reveal this to me and I was repenting and confessing of it. And just like the younger brother, I then also experienced God's forgiveness and I had a powerful encounter with God and his love for me. The effect of this over time has been an increased hunger and desire to be closer to God, to really know his heart, an increased desire to worship him and just his heart of thankfulness and gratitude that even though for so long I'd sort of been distant and I just sort of had missed the point of what Jesus was all about, that despite that, God had continued to pursue me, that he disciplined me and that he revealed himself to me. My mind and my heart were being opened to other ways that I was not reflecting his character. And I continue to confess and repent these things. And God would continue just to shower his love on me, to be telling me how much he loved me. And that I was worthy to come into his presence as his child, not because of any merit or works of my own, but completely because of Jesus. I was increasingly trusting Jesus with my life and I was enjoying the freedom and the joy that came with that. And the stuff I talked about earlier, that resentment, the critical nature, the judge, that just all lifted. And I can see how Jesus is growing in me a heart for others, and just this faith that God is really real and that he can work in our lives to bring absolute freedom and fullness. You might be wondering what all this has to do with evangelism. fair call. I haven't got any great insights about evangelism, except that the work that Jesus has done in my life, it shifted my mindset in two ways. Firstly, I'm really wanting to live for Jesus. I really believe that he is the answer. Rod has that saying about, God, what are you up to today and how can I be a part of it? And that is a mindset that I try to sort of take in to each day. I don't always do it well. I get easily distracted and I get caught up in busyness. But when I'm arriving at new places or speaking to people or whatever, that's a thought that's in my head. God, what are you up to? How can I be a part of it? And I think the other major shift is that I really do believe that God loves every person. And I believe that he's wanting to reveal his love to each person. And that whatever's going on in their life, he's wanting to bring more and more fullness and life and joy to them. So how does this look practically for me? I'm a mum at home most of the time with my kids. So there's been times where I've been at the shops and I felt God sort of prompt me to go and to pray for someone or just to start speaking with someone, which then leads to prayer. There was one time before I went to the shops, I'd been praying and I got this picture of a woman in blue. And so I went to the shops, did a grocery shopping, whatever. And as I came out of the Safeway, there was this woman with a multicoloured blue sort of top on, very, pretty much the same as the one I'd seen. I thought, damn. because, it's not comfortable to go up to walk up to strangers. But anyway, I used my children, because they're cute, to sort of create a conversation with her. And we had a cup of tea with her at the shops, and we were chatting. And, at the end of the conversation, I said, look, actually, I'm a Christian. I had this picture of you this morning. Can I pray for you? And this woman, started almost crying. And she was a Christian. She was an older lady. Her husband had recently passed away. And she was really lonely. Her kids were growing up and they'd moved sort of into the country areas. And she was really lonely. And it was a way of her knowing that God was still, looking out for her, that he loved her and that he was taking care of her. So it was really encouraging for her, and then I was encouraged as well. When it comes to friends and family, no one has ever run up to me asking about the faith that I have. None of my friends or family have ever done that. But I just increasingly, again, as I'm chatting with them, as we're doing life together, as we're sharing about the things that we struggle with, I'm thinking, I wonder what God's wanting to say to them. Because I know that he wants to say something. I know he wants to help them and he wants to speak his love and truth into their life. How are you wanting to do that, God? And often I find that God sort of says, just pray for them. And it might not be that I'm sharing the whole gospel with them in that moment, but I'm through prayer, you can often speak, bits of God's truth and his love to them. And there's been times, where God will give me a word as I'm praying, and that kind of can open up the conversation a bit more. I can even see God working in other ways. Hamish started kinder this year. So he starts kinder. There's a whole group of other mums that I get to meet. And there's a lot of mums at kinder like me. We sort of look the same, we dress the same, we speak the same. We're probably all middle class, that kind of a thing. And they're easy women for me to start conversations with and get to know. But there was this other mum there who didn't as easily fit in with that kind of group. She didn't dress the same, she didn't look the same. She probably wasn't middle class. But that was the mum that God says to me every time she is there at kinder, I want you to go and speak to her. She's often on her own, no one else is speaking to her, and that's the one. And as I've sort of been chatting with her, she's been sharing with me just some of the struggles that she has. And I've been able to say to her, look, I'll be praying for you. And to my surprise, she actually one time said to me, do you know what, there's actually a whole lot of people praying for me. And I was like, oh, who would have thought? I was surprised by that as well. I don't want to give the impression that I get this stuff all right all the time or that I don't find it difficult. Earlier this year, Alf's uncle passed away and he got quite sick quite quickly. And so Alf and I felt a pretty big push from God that we had to go and pray for him. And Uncle Howe, he was great. How would you say that? He wasn't really positive about God though, was he? He wasn't didn't really like God or the church. And so the thought of going and having to pray for him, we weren't scared, but we were very unsure of how we would be received. But anyway, we felt God wanted us to, so we went and visited him in the days before his death. And, you know, we spent about a couple of hours there, you know, chatting and whatever. And then finally at the end, we sort of got the courage to say how, you know, we'd really love to pray for you, that'd be okay. And to my surprise again, he grabbed both Alf and I by the hand. He pulled us in close, and we had this beautiful time of prayer where I could feel God's presence. His peace was right there. I think everyone was in tears. God was definitely doing something. Exactly what, I don't know. But I'm learning that that's not my job. You know, my job was to do what God asked me to do. That was to pray for him. And it's between him and God now, the rest, and the Holy Spirit to do the rest of the work. It was just my job to sort of go there and pray. And I think the other thing I learned from that experience was that God's grace goes before me. You know, when I love, when we've got a heart that's wanting to love people, we've got a heart that's wanting to share God's love with them, that his grace just goes before us. He often paves the way and prepares people for what he's asking us to do. And so our job just becomes trying to be obedient to that and to trust in him and be led by his Spirit. God needed to work on my heart so that I could be a better partner with him in sharing his gospel message. And so I guess my question this morning is, how is God wanting to work in your heart? How is God wanting to work in your life so that you can be free to enjoy the life and the joy that he's wanting to offer us? How is he wanting to transform your life so that the overflow of that is a greater love for Jesus and his gospel message? I'm wanting to now lead us through a prayer. And it's a prayer that's a prayer of confession. And it's a prayer that's confessing a whole lot of stuff that I've sort of mentioned that I needed to get rid of. Things like pride and self-righteousness. My testimony is that when I gave all this stuff away, when I lowered my pride and actually gave this stuff away to God, that his Spirit has just moved in my life in a way that I never imagined it would. And so I'm going to read this prayer through once so that you know what's in the prayer. And then after that, I'm going to invite you to say the prayer with me, to actually stand if you want to, and to say this prayer together. Because, you know, I know in my life I want to get rid of this stuff. And I want my whole heart and my spirit to be open to whatever it is that Jesus is wanting to do in me. So this is the prayer. Lord God, you are almighty, glorious, majestic, all-loving and powerful. Forgive us for at times having a dry heart or being indifferent towards you. Forgive us for our self-righteousness, which blinds us of our need for your salvation and the grace and redemption found in your Son, Jesus Christ, the name above all names and King of Kings. Forgive us, Jesus, for not seeing the power and love you displayed on the cross. Forgive us for having a religious spirit that adds rules and regulations to our relationship instead of resting in your grace. Forgive our pride that thinks we can stand before you on our own merits without your Son, Jesus. Forgive us for our judgmental and critical attitudes. Forgive us for the way we allow them to constrain others to rules and regulations instead of inviting them to rest in freedom. Forgive me for the way I allow them to distract me from worshipping you in spirit and truth and living in close relationship to you. Lord, I repent and renounce these things in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you would like to say this prayer with me, I invite you to stand and we'll say it together. So with loud voices, let's go. Lord God, you are almighty, glorious, majestic, all-loving and powerful. Forgive us for at times having a dry heart or being indifferent towards you. Forgive us for our self-righteousness, which blinds us of our need for your salvation and the grace and redemption found in your Son, Jesus Christ, the name above all names and the King of Kings. Forgive us, Jesus, for not seeing the power and love you displayed on the cross. Forgive us for having a religious spirit that adds rules and regulations to our relationship instead of resting in grace. Forgive our pride that thinks we can stand before you on our own merit without your Son, Jesus. Forgive us for our judgmental and critical attitudes. Forgive us for the way we allow them to constrain others to rules and regulations instead of inviting them to rest in freedom. Forgive me for the way I allow them to distract me from worshipping you in spirit and truth and living in close relationship to you. Lord, I repent and renounce these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me just continue to pray for us before I end. So, Father God, I break any effects that these religious spirits and associated spirits have on our lives individually and corporately in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you have heard the prayers of your people. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. Ezekiel 37:4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come powerfully and refresh your people. Lord Jesus, breathe your spirit into us, your spirit that gives life and life to the full. Bring us into the fullness of your life. The life that you have to offer. Fill us with love so that we can be your people, a vast army of people that love and proclaim your goodness, proclaim your name to all the ends of the earth. Lord Jesus, let your freedom reign in this place. Let your freedom reign in our lives. May we no longer be chained and held back by the things that keep us captive. Lord Jesus, we are yours. We are your people. Bring us to life to be the people that you designed and destined us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.